certainly they're prepared to take a quarterback here. They have a high grade on Jaden Daniels. If he's available at three, I think they would probably pounce on that. And Drake May, too, they're high on. Yeah. So the feeling around the league right now is that Drake May would be that pick at number three. They are open for business, as de facto GM Elliot Wolf said, but I'm told they haven't gotten an offer yet that would wow them or would move them off that pick. They know they need a quarterback in the worst way long term.
That is Jeremy Fowler on ESPN telling us kind of what we sort of have known ever since Sherrod Mayo got the job. Whee! QB! Here we go! We decided in January, everybody! Now we're just going to retrofit the idea. And, well, when there's three guys at the top of the draft, I'll tell you, the strategy of let the others in front of you determine who your pick, that's a formula for a championship,
oh, yay. How do you dress this up now that it's been so long since that opening press conference about the best player at the most important position? How do you dress this up to convince, just say me, okay.
Yeah.
That
this was the best player at the most important position, or was it the best player available?
No. That convinced me that you're better served to trade the pick. Because that's the ultimate wild card. And I don't know if it's a wild card, because I think they're too chicken to do anything but take a quarterback at three.
Well, that's why we keep hearing about the, you know, whether it's a $5, a $7, or an $8 biggie bag full of delicious draft picks for them to consume down there.
Yeah, how often have you really desired a biggie bag and said, you know what, I'm just going to wait for the phone to ring because I hope somebody brings me the bag.
Yeah, maybe somebody it's will like, bring yeah, maybe they'll one call of my me. Friends will bring me
yeah.
one ooh, versus.
Oh, were you coming around the neighborhood? Oh, geez, I wasn't going to tell you what to do, but I'm really hungry, if you know what I mean.
Well, I know that, again, we knock down silos. We communicate down there now. I know that Bill Belichick was widely criticized, and it's really funny some of the about faces that happen on text and via Twitch as well.
Like what?
When it's the whole, Bill just wants to be cheap and win the deal. Now we're in the win the deal mode with the new crew. So maybe it could just be this, Christian. Maybe it's just the way it is in the NFL and people want to bitch about Bill. Or there really is a hang-up on, by God, it's my first time and I'm going to win the deal. It's my first time.
I'm going to impress everybody.
It's my first time and she's going to orgasm like never before. Like,
I know, right? How many blue pills does he need?
From Mike Reese's column on ESPN.com, he writes, this is a franchise-altering opportunity, and as Wolf and first-year head coach Sherrod Mayo have previously said, the only way they're moving down is if another team offers an unprecedented deal. Leaving the door open for the possibility, or for that possibility, is good business more than anything. Why close it before it's necessary to do so? Well, you're trying to open it after it was already closed because of the giddiness of we, the new people, taking over. Unprecedented deal. So what you're saying is, if you're Elliot Wolf, is I don't care what the 49ers did to move up to three. I don't care what anybody else did to move up. I'm Elliot Wolf, and we're the New England GD Patriots. And by God, if you're going to move up to us, it better be the best deal ever given. Therefore, unprecedented. So instead of looking for the fair deal or a deal that you know can work for you and you be resolute in your thoughts on it, instead it's got to be an unbelievable biggie bag full of delicious bacon junior cheeseburgers at a level we've never seen before.
Well, it's the Godfather offer. It's an offer you can't refuse, right? You cannot refuse it regardless of how desperate you are for or to fill that position, you know, unless you really feel like you've found the second coming of, you know, fill in the blank, a franchise quarterback.
Do you really think they want to trade this pick and are trying to smoke someone out and have their cake and eat it too at an unbelievable, unprecedented level? Or are they just begging for the unprecedented offer to come their way from someone more desperate than them?
Yeah, but why? It's funny, like when somebody announces it and lets everybody know. And I mean, I guess he was asked a question, so he's answering it. So maybe there's some, you know, a little bit different there. But I think everybody knows that any team is open for business if the right deal comes around, if it's unprecedented, if it's too good to turn away, of every single team.
So
if you gave the Chicago Bears.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't give him more than – you can only give him a certain amount of picks, but you can throw players in, you can throw picks in. If you gave him something nutty, I'm sure they'd be like, oh, geez, you know what? We'll take Jaden.
So here's what it is the Patriots could have a very good deal on the table. It could be the two first-rounders from Minnesota this year and the first-rounder next year. If I'm to go by the reports and that the deal has to be unprecedented, while that is intriguing and enticing, apparently that's not going to get it done. Apparently the Vikings are going to have to do something else to be able to convince New England. Now, how many teams are QB thirsty, to use the word again right now? One's at 11 and one's at number 12. So you're telling them, if you don't make us the Godfather offer, we're not moving. And if I'm the GM on the other end, I go, thanks. You made my decision much easier. I'll use your words against you. You want something unprecedented? I'll give you something fair for that pick. I might even throw in a little sweetener. But if you want unprecedented, guess what? I just hang up the phone. See, why even answer?
But even isn't that almost like a way of protecting themselves against just – everything. Hey, listen, no.
Oh, you mean because their ears are on and they're worried about what everybody is saying about them down there? So now this is the verbal insulation from fan criticism?
Well, listen, if I do it, everybody out there, Patriot fans, it was unprecedented. You had to say yes, okay? We couldn't say no, regardless of what was going on. I still feel like even though they get a good deal, call it a great deal, right? This is a good deal for them.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't think they make the deal. Because I think they believe it's too risky. They don't want to risk. They don't want to chance it.
What's riskier, making the pick and potentially having it flop, or making what would be viewed as kind of a fair market trade? Because now that I think of it more, you're 1,000,000% right. It's the whole throwing the word on, oh, this is an unprecedented deal. Yeah. We have to.
Don't be critical. It's great. This is good for us.
Yeah. So you're right. I think there is a little bit of that whole insulation in there. Well, you know, if they bowled us over, then it becomes, oh, well, it's on the other team for not being desperate enough to call us and give us what we were looking for, which was crazy to begin with.
Yeah, because I feel like they believe, regardless of the situation, if either situation, you know, is wrong, they grab a guy with the number 3 pick, it doesn't work after 3 years, and then they trade these picks. And the new pick doesn't work. I still think that they'll get more criticism, and they'll probably feel like it's more risky trading the pick, and there'll be more criticism from it. Because it's really like it really makes it seem like they're trying to be real fancy and cute, where they should just take what's in front of them. Like hopefully you'll never be in this position ever again. The more times you're in this position, the more times, you know, you proof that your team sucks.
Oh, it'll be more fun next year than this year, because this year they kind of took all the steam out of it. Next year, there'll be a whole year's worth of mistakes and things like that, evaluations, half the defense free agents at the end of the year. So we're going to get all horned up for, you know, large defensive tackles, another corner, maybe a linebacker, something like that. And it'll be 5 or 6, something like that. But next year, there'll be more possibilities. There'll be a little more ability to move up. And everybody down there will have been there a year, so they could choose whether to turn their ears off or not. So next year's draft process will be similar but different to this year's.
If they traded this number 3 pick and the person or the team that moved up to grab that player at 3 ends up being – just a consistent Pro Bowl player, top of the top 5 quarterback. Holy cow. It'll be all the teams that passed up on Patrick Mahomes. Oh, the guys that let Lamar Jackson go all the way to the end of the first round. All these players who people just passed up on.
Drake May will get compared to the two guys above him, no question. No.
If I'm a
question.
Player too, like I wouldn't mind being drafted later. I feel like there's less stress. Like Caleb Williams in Chicago.
Be ready.
He,
because you're the man walking in the door.
Oh, yeah. And the amount of criticism that it's going to be pointed in his direction for not being the savior, for not for just and the dude has had the best of everything his whole life.
Yep.
Suddenly you're in a pro market that's like Boston, and they've never had. When was the last time they had a good quarterback?
Well, he's the savior. I mean, when you look at the last 10 years of drafts or whatever, I think the last guy that was worth a damn, people would argue, would be Jay Cutler.
Jay Cutler, Rex Grossman. Maybe.
Right, he took him to the Super Bowl.
I mean, still, I mean, he doesn't get credit for any of it, though.
Oh, God, no. That's the loss to Patriots Super Bowl right there.